Revelation chapter 18 today. Chapter 18, of course, is the second half of the judgment upon what is called Babylon. And if you remember last week, chapter 17, last time we looked into this, we dealt with religious Babylon. And it was kind of the picture of organized idolatry. And that's what we saw in the judgment upon that in chapter 17. And now this chapter is going to deal not with religious Babylon, but with what we're going to call economic Babylon. So in chapter 17, you have religious, the cursing of religious Babylon, the sinfulness of organized idolatry. In this chapter, we're going to have the cursing of, or the judgment upon economic Babylon. I think in some ways, shown, heightened, seen by something we would call materialism at its ultimate evil end. At the very end today, what we're going to look at are some similarities and some differences between commercial Babylon and religious Babylon. And I have a little chart that we'll go through, but we'll do that sort of at the end of all things in chapter 18. I want to start with a quote. This will just give our minds sort of a way to think of Babylon in general. By a commentator named Barnhouse. When the Lord was here on earth, he spoke of the great hatred that the world had for him and his own. John 15, he talked about that. What is this world but a combination of religion and government and commerce? That's what the world is, religion, government, and commerce. In other words, Babylon, in all its parts, stands for that which Christ called the world. And so in these two chapters, we see much of the idea of the negative parts, the evil parts of those entities being judged or being cursed. And so today what we're going to look at is commercial or economic Babylon. Now, some people think that in the end times, of course, that's what we're speaking of, this will be an actual city, and there will be a rebuilt city with commerce, sort of the commerce, the economic hub, sort of the central place where all commerce kind of comes out of, and that will be economic Babylon. Some people believe it's just simply a symbolic city, symbolic for the economic powers that be in that time. We don't know for sure. Could be one, could be both. Let's start off here. Chapter 18, verse 1. It says, "After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory." Now that's just a neat statement. We see another angel. This is an addition to the angel that we read about in chapter 17. Now this angel has great authority. So who is this angel? Well, we don't know. Many think it's maybe Michael or maybe Gabriel. Those would be the two probably leading contenders. We know they are great angels with much authority. But one of the things that I think is so neat is this idea that the earth was made bright with the glory of this angel. And I like this quote. It says, "This angel coming down from heaven is so fresh from God's presence that he glows." isn't that a great statement? So recently has he come from the presence of God that in passing by, he flings a broad belt of light across the dark earth. Isn't that good? What a beautiful poetic way of looking at this angel, so very fresh and recent from the glory of God that he brings God's glory to this dark, dark earth, which is what it is at this point in the tribulation. All right, verse 2. "And he," this authoritative angel, "called out with a mighty voice, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast.'" Oh, what an evil description. You know, a haunt is a cage or a prison or somewhere where they would have a guard and they would hold a criminal. So Babylon now, in this sort of symbolic language, has become this caged dwelling place for all evil and sin and uncleanness. What a city this would be, that a caged up dwelling place for evil. You know, in the original Greek language, that statement has become, see where it says, she has become a dwelling place? That's what they call a causative statement. What that means is Babylon, this economic Babylon, has actually chosen evil. It's made a conscious, causative choice to let evil dwell in its fullness within her. What a description. What an evil city that is now being judged. All right, verse 3. This is where this kind of gets interesting. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. Okay, so what's going on? Let's break this down a little bit. It says the nations are drunk or intoxicated with sin and evil. Nations would be symbolic for everyone. Everyone seems to be sort of in a drunken stupor that this evil has caused. So they're not even thinking rationally because of the overabundance of evil. Now it says the kings of the earth. So let's think that would be, of course, symbolic for leadership. Leaders on earth have joined themselves. It says committed immorality with her. They have joined themselves with this sinful commerce to get what they want. So they are selfishly looking at sinful commerce to get what they want. The nations, the people, have become intoxicated with it. Then it says the merchants of the earth. Okay, that's a different group. So far now we've had the nations, the kings or the leaders, and the merchants. Who is the merchants? Well, that's the business or commercial leaders. That's the business men and women. In this culture, it says they've benefited from these addictions. So they have, says, grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. So we have the nations, the people, in a drunken stupor, drunk, intoxicated with evil. We have the leadership on the earth partnering with this evil to get what they want. And then we have the merchants, the business leaders, getting rich off it. Now, I'm going to give you an example of how that could play out in just a minute, and I think you'll be able to understand this. But one of the commentators, J. Hampton Keithley, puts it this way. Commercial Babylon, with its worship of money and power, will promote and push unrestrained, luxurious sensuality and pleasure designed to develop an all-consuming power over the masses via their uncontrolled lust patterns. Wow, that's what's going on, that people are being used for what the people can get out of this addiction that they have to luxurious, overindulgent living. He goes on to say, Babylon will promote the philosophy that happiness, significance, security, and fulfillment are attained by the abundance of things that people possess, that they attain this by travel and luxury, in comfort and pleasure. Then he says, frankly, this sounds exactly like America and much of the world today, that we have come into a place where we are addicted to materialism. We are addicted to luxurious living. We are addicted to pleasure. And we think the only place we can find true happiness is when we have all of that and we've actually stopped thinking because of that. Now, I want to give you an example of how leadership is partnering with and allowing sin, how business leaders are benefiting from sin, and how the world is in sort of a drunken stupor over sin. The example that I want to give you just very quickly is the industry that we call pornography. If you think about the pornography industry, people are addicted to it. We see addiction to this industry all over the place. They're in a stupor. They can't even think straight because they're in such an addiction to this industry. Leadership within our country is not coming down hard enough. They allow this. They have purposefully allowed it. They have partnered with this industry in one sense by not coming down on something that is destroying families. Clearly, this is a very negative influence upon our or any society. Now, what do we know about the business people? They're making millions and billions of dollars off of this industry. See, what is happening in the pornography industry is the perfect example of what is going to happen across a large scale in the end times. People are going to be addicted to evil. The government is going to close their eyes and actually partner with this industry, and the business people are going to make money off of this. Listen to some of these statistics. The actual numbers are very difficult to get a handle on because much of the pornography industry is illegal. It doesn't get reported, and so it's really hard to get. But the best figures that we have show this. The pornography industry brings in more money than the NFL, National Football League, Major League Baseball, or National Basketball Association combined. Bigger than all three of the major sports combined. It has larger revenues than Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, or Netflix. Bigger revenues than all of that. The best they can figure, and again, these are estimates. In the United States, it's a $13 billion industry. And around the world, it's almost a $100 billion industry. What's going on? Leadership is not coming down on this evil. Merchants, business people are making millions, and we see billions of dollars off of this. And we as a people are addicted to this. What we see in a small sense, and I don't mean small in one way, but in a small sense, what's going on in the pornography industry will be going on across the globe in the end times. We see a taste of that in this industry. You know, let's keep going in Revelation 18. Verses 4 and 5, what this is a very important call to God's people. Verse 4, then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out from her, my people. Very, very significant phrase. Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Couple of things in this. First of all, we see very clearly there will be believers on earth during this time. People will still be coming to Christ during the end times. That's actually good news. That's encouraging news that not everyone has taken the mark of the beast at this point. There will be believers. Even if we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, we will still have people come into faith in Jesus. Now, this call to come out of her is very significant. You know, God from the very beginning has been calling his children to come out of, quote unquote, Babylon. We are to come out of sinful places. We are to never join with sin. The Bible talks about not being unequally yoked. That is a call to come out, and we must be proactive in this call. Whenever we see sinful situations, we need to come out of that. Now, like Jesus, there is a balance here. We need to be in the lives of sinful people because we are his ambassadors. But we can't be directly connected, partnered with sinful situations and sinful dealings. We have to come out of sinful things. And this is very imperative. It's actually urgent. Or he tells us what will happen. We will eventually take part in the sin. We will become a part of that. You know, the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. What is he saying? If you hang out long enough, deeply ingrained enough with sinful people, you will follow their pattern. This is a huge issue with sin. God, of course, as we know, sees each and every sinful act. You know, the call to leave Babylon and the call to come out of worldliness is something, it's a theme that's been repeated in scriptures from the very, very beginning. I want to give you just a few scriptures you can study on your own to give this theme of coming out from Babylon or coming out of sin. Isaiah 52:11, Jeremiah 58, Jeremiah 51:44-45, and Ephesians 5:11. You can get those in the notes if you didn't write them all down. I'll give them one more time. Isaiah 52:11, Jeremiah 58, Jeremiah 51:44-45, and Ephesians 5:11. You know, this is very key, and we need to remember this even in the place that we sit today. As God's people, we need to come out of and come out from under the influence of materialism, greed, immorality, excess living, and selfishness. We need to come out from under the influence of that. You know, we may or may not be living in the end times. That what is coming is going to be significant. But in our, even in our culture, the influence of those things can have an impact on our lives. We can slowly get sucked into that. Bible says consistently, God says, come out. All right, let's read verses now starting in verse 6. This is going to describe the judgment on Babylon. Revelation 18:6 says, pay her back, her of course is Babylon, commercial Babylon. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. What's going on? Babylon will now be getting what she has coming. This is good news. Sin will take its final blow. This is a picture that Babylon will get what is coming. In fact, it doesn't even say she'll just get what she gave. She'll get double what she gave. There's a double portion waiting for Babylon. Verse 7, as she glorified herself, we're going to get some of the now descriptives of what commercial Babylon feels about herself, if we can put it that way. As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a like measure of torment and mourning. Since in her heart she says, I sit as queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see. Now, these are some tips for us to know when commercial Babylon is getting a hold of our heart, when these attitudes start coming in. What is it saying? She was prideful, she lived in arrogance, and she lived in overindulgence. Again, boy, does that sound like the country that we live in. Overindulgence. She lived in that way, continuing to consume things she just didn't need. Picture of Babylon. Then it says she felt like she was invincible. I sit as queen. I am no widow. Mourning I shall never see. She was untouchable. She said she'll never die. She'll never mourn. She'll never be judged. She felt she was above all things. She became her own God. She became her own God. That is a picture of someone who will not submit to the authority of God himself, not even having a fear of the Lord, not even a God-fearer. That's a picture of what this commercial, materialistic Babylon looks like. Verse 8. Here's what's going to happen. This is significant. For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. Death, mourning, famine, and burning. What's happening? Commercial Babylon will fall, will collapse in a day. Now, you might say, how could the world economic system collapse in a day? You know, in generations past, they never could have understood that, but we can now. We could see how the economic system, because we are so tied electronically, could fall in one day. What is this, a stock market crash? Maybe. A fiscal cliff? Perhaps. But we know that the entire economic system that is in place at that time will fall, collapse, be destroyed in a day. Who will do it? God will do it. How will he do it? We don't know. He doesn't tell us how, we just know who. That God will bring about this collapse of this overindulgent, luxurious living. What a day that will be. What a day. People will feel like they're invincible, like they're above all things, like they are God, and it will fall apart in a day. Now we're going to actually see, this is a really curious section of chapter 18. We're going to see three different groups' reaction to this economic collapse. So this economic collapse is going to cause the kings, which is the rulers, to react in a certain way. It's going to cause the business leaders to react. They can call those the merchants in a certain way. And then it's going to be an interesting group. It's called the shipping industry's reaction. And they're all going to have a slightly different reaction to this economic collapse that comes upon the earth. Let's look first, verse 9. What is the king's reaction? The rulers, if you remember, the rulers have joined themselves, partnered themselves with economic Babylon. Verse 9, let's read verses 9 and 10. The kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her, remember, the rulers have joined themselves, will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand afar off in fear of her torment. And they say, "Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come." These world leaders, imagine this. They've partnered. They've joined themselves intimately with this economic system that is bringing ruin upon the earth. They will now be in anguish. Their power, which they got from her, remember, sexual immorality with a prostitute is using someone for what you get from them. They have used commercial Babylon to get power from her. Remember, the Antichrist's whole system of power is based on economics. It's based on economics. You can't buy or sell unless you take the mark of the beast. The power will be in the economics. The world leaders who have joined with the Antichrist in this 10-kingdom federation have partnered with him. They are getting what they want because of the economic power of the system. When that system collapses, their power goes away. Now, let's look at what it says. What are they afraid of? They are in fear of her torment. What are the leaders afraid of? They're afraid that they may get what she just got. They're afraid that judgment will come upon them just like judgment from God came upon her. These world leaders see something that happened and they say, "This was a judgment from the very hand of God," and they're freaking out. They see that no one but God caused this. They're now afraid of her judgment. But doesn't say that they repent, but they're in anxiety like crazy. They're afraid not for their lives, they're now afraid for their souls. Her judgment was a judgment from God. They're afraid of that. It'll crumble in 1 hour. Wow, what a day, what an hour this may be. Let's move. That's the king's reaction. Now let's move to the merchant, sort of the business leader's reaction. They have a dual reaction. Now imagine this. Who is this? Well, this is in our example that we gave earlier. Let's say this is the business people who are making all this money off the pornography industry. Well, the industry collapses. What is their reaction going to be? These people who are making all this cash off of this. Well, they have a dual reaction. And the reaction is interesting. Let's look at their first reaction. Initially, what are they going to feel? Verses 11 to 14. "And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore." They're weeping because no one's buying what they're selling. Now it's going to give a description of what their cargo is. And look at some of these descriptives. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, and sheep, horses and chariots, and slaves, that is, human souls. Look at what it says. "The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you." What's the fruit? The money. The money has dried up. It's gone. "And all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again." The business leaders, their initial reaction is, "Our business has dried up." They're initially weeping and wailing because of the fact that business has tanked. They don't have any more money. Remember, they were getting rich off of this. They were getting rich off of this evil commerce, this wicked commerce. No one's buying their stuff anymore. Look at that list. Did you notice what was similar about that list? Almost everything on that list was a luxury item. It was all luxury, stuff you really don't need, but it was luxurious stuff. They were getting rich on things that people really don't need, but that was a picture of luxury. Initially, the business leader, the merchant's reaction will be weeping because their finances have collapsed in a day. But now, let's move on to verse 15. Let's see their reaction after they get over the fact that they got no money. You know, sometimes when something bad happens, you have an initial reaction. And your initial reaction is the here and now. How is this going to affect me in the here and now? But then when you think about it a little bit, you think, maybe there's something worse than just the here and now. And this is now their secondary reaction after they've had a little chance to think about it a little bit. Verse 15. The merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand afar off in fear of her torment. Now that sounds familiar. That's the same fear that the kings had, weeping and mourning aloud. Alas, alas, for the great city that was clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels, and with pearls. Now, the sadness that they initially felt over the loss of business now turned to a fear. It turned to a fear not for their finances, but for their souls. Their secondary reaction was one that said, I might get what they got. I might be in fear. I might be in trouble of God's judgment upon the earth. They now realize this is above and beyond just the money. Yeah, the loss of the money was bad, but this could have an impact on my eternity. And all of a sudden, they thought of this from a very different and even a deeper angle. They might be tormented how the way she was tormented. They might be judged the way she was judged. The merchants, the business leaders. All right, so we've had the kings, the leaders. Now we've had the business people. Now let's look at a third group. This one is interesting. We got to think about this one a little bit more. This is now the shipping industry, their reaction to this economic collapse in a day. Verse 17. For in a single hour, all this wealth has been laid waste, and all shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors and all whose trade is on the sea stood afar off and cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning. What city was like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads and they wept and mourned, crying out, alas, alas, for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth. For in a single hour she has been laid waste. So what is this a picture of? Well, I think this is the airline industry, if we have that at that point. This is the trucking industry. This is the shipping industry. This is the freight industry. This is the people who were transferring the cargo where it needed to go. Now, electronically, this is the industry, things like the internet commerce. Internet commerce now collapses. All of the commerce that is about connection. All the connecting people, all the people like eBay, that now is gone in a day. Anyone who is making the connection between what the commerce was and who was receiving it, this is all of those folks. And they're now looking from afar off. Now, what are they going through? Well, they're going through some sorrow. But there's also this feeling that there's some repentance in these people. If you look, it says they threw dust on their heads and says they wept and they mourned. That's a picture of repentance. That's a picture of deep sorrow. It's a different type of sorrow than what was happening with the other two groups. It also doesn't say they didn't have any worry or fear for themselves. They never said that they were in fear of torment for what Babylon got. Now, let's think about this for a moment. They were not as intimately tied to Babylon, to the system, as the kings were and as the business people were. They were simply a middleman. And the middleman did not have the intimate tie that those other two groups did. And so they never felt that sense of fear. They stood in the same place. They watched the same event, but they had not connected themselves to the degree that the leaders of the earth had and that the business people of the earth had. And so they didn't feel that same sense of, I may get the judgment that she got. Now, it doesn't say that all these people were believers, but it doesn't say that they weren't. They were more loosely connected. there's an important teaching in there, that you can sometimes be a part of the culture that is evil, but not be so connected that you are intimately tied. You know, we are sometimes a part of this culture, and sometimes we have ties with things that are not always so positive. But as long as that tie is not such with such intimacy, we don't have to fear the judgment that those other industries are going to experience. And that's what I think is going on with this sort of shipping industry and their reaction. They wept. They were sad. Their business was gone. Their money went with it, but they didn't have that fear of torment, that fear of judgment. What an interesting three groups and the dynamic that each individual group had to this economic collapse. And again, the teaching is, yes, you can live within culture, but you should never be intimately tied to the evil parts of culture. The message was, come out of her. Come out of her. You can be in the world, as Jesus said, but not of the world. And that's the balance we must seek to achieve. All right, let's go on to verse 20. This is now heaven's response. We get a heavenly response to commercial Babylon's judgment. Verse 20, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. God's children and all of heaven rejoices because justice has been served. Commercial Babylon got what commercial Babylon deserved. Justice was served. One of my favorite guys who commentates on the Bible, David Guzik, says, should God's people rejoice when judgment comes? He says, yes. We don't rejoice in the destruction in judgment. Rather, we rejoice in the righteous resolution that God's judgment brings. We never rejoice in destruction. We rejoice in justice, that the right thing has happened. Commercial Babylon needed to be judged. Verse 21 is a great analogy to this great fall. You know, if this economic system collapses in a day, that's going to be quite a violent thing, quite an experience. And he gives a great picture, sort of an analogy of what that's going to look like. Verse 21, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and he threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence, and it will be found no more. Now think about that. When you throw a huge rock, a boulder, into the water, into the lake, it makes a huge splash. And if you're close enough, you're going to get wet. Everybody feels the effects of this huge boulder that is thrown, and it makes a monster splash. But then almost as quickly as that splash happens, that rock is at the bottom of the lake, and within minutes, you can't even tell that it happened. The violent force of this collapse will be significant, and it will be huge. And then as quick as it happened, it's done. And there will be a calm after this, but a huge monster effect. And then it's gone just that quick. You know, Matthew 18, 6, Jesus was speaking of a great millstone. And I thought there was such a curious tie to this verse related to what we just spoke about. But whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin. Now, that's a picture of commercial and religious Babylon. That is going to be a system and people and government leaders and business people who are causing little ones to sin. I think about the pornography industry today. That industry and the people who are allowing that are causing little ones to sin. That's what they're doing. The analogy in Revelation is it will be like a great millstone that was thrown into a lake. Well, now look at what Jesus says. He said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone, same picture, fastened around his neck and to be drowned into the depth of the sea. You see, commercial Babylon is going to be about people with power using their power and authority and what they have to cause other people to sin for their own benefit. That is the ultimate picture of evil. When you selfishly do something that you know is harming someone else simply because you get benefit from it, that's evil. And that's commercial Babylon. I think I had mentioned to you that Revelation has had a dramatic impact on me in certain parts of this study. This chapter has impacted me more, maybe, than any other chapter within this book, because I see so much of my culture, so much of where I live reflected in commercial or the materialism that we see in Babylon. I see that in where we live today. And the evil that this is portrayed with, I mean, the pure evil that commercial Babylon is pictured in, I think sometimes we don't see this part of our culture as evil. We see it as greedy or materialistic or selfish, but I don't believe we see it as the evil that it is. This chapter, studying this chapter, reading through this chapter, is the one that changed my life more than any other. And I still think about, how am I allowing commercial Babylon to influence me? How am I living within this system of materialism and greed and overindulgence and luxury? And how does this affect my life, that I somehow think I can live in this way like this picture was pictured here in Revelation 18? And I hope that it causes all of us to think, how do I need to come out of commercial Babylon? Well, let's read the last three verses. This is going to show us the effects of the final judgment upon Babylon. What will the world look like after this great millstone hits the water and the huge explosion and an economic collapse in a day? What is life going to look like on earth after that sea calms? Verse 22, we'll read all three of these in closing. And the sound of the harpists and the musicians, of flute players and trumpeters, will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. What a powerful, evil word is pictured for Babylon. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all who have been slain on the earth. The world at this moment, after this one-day collapse of economic Babylon, is pictured in this way. All light is gone. The music is gone. The joy is gone. Commerce is gone. All big business based in evil is gone. Everything becomes dark. Love will be gone from the earth. The joy from marriage will be gone. All nations and all peoples were deceived. They were deceived by this evil sorcery. They were taken. They were in a drunken stupor with commercial Babylon. You know, these last two chapters that we read, 17 and 18, showed the total judgment on what we call Babylon. Chapter 17 was organized idolatry, religion that was organized on a stand that was not God-driven or Christ-glorifying. How much should we seek to flee from idolatry, any idolatry that is in our life? Chapter 18 was all about economic and the judgment on all things evil and sinful and greed and materialistic. How we must make a continual decision to come out from that worldview, to come out from that system. Chapter 17 and 18. Let's close by doing a compare and contrast of these two chapters. We're going to look at the name of each. We're going to look at the symbol, how they were identified. We're going to look at where they were identified, what the character was like, what they were guilty of, and what they were destroyed by. First of all, what was the name? Well, religious Babylon's name was Mystery Babylon. Commercial Babylon's name was Babylon the Great. The symbol for religious Babylon was a harlot, a woman. The symbol for commercial Babylon was a great and magnificent economic city. Religious Babylon was identified with inland Rome. Commercial Babylon was identified with a port city, city on a water. Religious Babylon was characterized by a woman, a whore, and a mother. Commercial Babylon was characterized by a habitation, somewhere you lived, a great city, or even a marketplace. Religious Babylon was guilty of religious abominations, as we said, organized idolatry. Commercial Babylon was guilty of greed and self-indulgence. What destroyed them both? Religious Babylon was destroyed by a political power that previously had supported her, a partner that turned on her. Commercial Babylon was destroyed by a sudden act of God Himself. The good news is Babylon has been defeated. Babylon, or sin, has been defeated. Now, we will see the defeat of Satan coming up very soon here, but this is the organization of that sin and evil from a world standpoint, both religiously and economically. The good news is it's been defeated. A very worthy and worthwhile foe has been defeated in these two chapters. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to guard us, to guard our hearts from both religious or spiritual Babylon and organized idolatry and commercial Babylon or self-indulgence and greed. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to look deep into your word. Lord, we thank you for the powerful and impactful word pictures that you give us that make us think, but at the same time, help us to understand what is really going on in these end times. And Lord, at the same time, we have to identify and say, what is the lesson in here for me and for us in the culture that we live in today? And I think there's much. Father, I pray that you would help us to flee, to run from idolatry. God, help us to keep ourselves from idolatry. Father, I pray that we would learn how to practically come out from the commercial Babylon that we see in our world. Help us, God, not to fall into the trap, the sorcery, God, even as your word says, the trap that materialism has upon us. Father, again, we thank you. We pray that you would continue to walk with us and that we would continue, Father, to make decisions on a daily basis for how we can walk in closer step and union with you. We love you, Lord. Thanks again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.